Hello, folks. Welcome to this month's HYOH podcast, the monthly podcast where we talk about hammocks, hammock camping, and sometimes just a good excuse to have a fireside chat with some great people. Over here, life has been busy, so even I'm surprised sometimes that I'm able to schedule a guest, get it recorded and edited for you all to be able to listen to. But here we are again. I thank you for taking the time and tuning in. This month, I'm happy to have a female voice on the podcast, the great gal from Kentucky, Shannon Harris. We got to talking and it went a little bit under 2 hours. So this month, I'll share the first half of our conversation and I'll share the rest next time. So I won't waste any more time and get right to the chat with Shannon. Enjoy. So thanks, Shannon, for coming on the podcast. I appreciate you making the time.
No problem.
I got your name from our good mutual friend, Anne-Marie. She said you'd be a hoot to have on the podcast. So here you are.
I don't know. She might be pointing you into some trouble. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it'll be good trouble. You just got one of her hammocks, didn't you? That wasn't too long ago, was it?
Oh my gosh, yes. And it has to be the most beautiful hammock I have seen, have owned, have slept in. It is amazing.
Before we talk about her hammock completely, how many hammocks have you tried?
Well, 10 maybe. I don't know. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, yeah. What hammocks have you tried?
So I started with Bearbutt. And I don't even know if they're technically still in business or if they came back or not. But that was just a standard, you know, everybody's starter hammock, kind of like an Eno. From there, I got a War Bonnet and a Dutchware Netless. The War Bonnet was the XLC. And then through Barry, I tried a – oh, no, wait. I have to back up. I had a Sierra Madre Solo, which that's how I met Cajun. I've tried Trailheads, Superior, Go Hammocks, Autumn Ultralight.
Okay. I was just where you came from, because it kind of frames, now we can talk about your Juniper.
Oh yes. And
how many nights have you spent in it so far?
So far, I think maybe 4 or 5. I haven't got to, no, that's, it's more than that. 7, 8. I haven't got to hang in it as much as I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing.
Did you get the mountain fabric or the poly D? Do you remember?
You know, I'm really bad about remembering what kind of fabric I have, but it's not the mountain.
Okay, then you got the poly D.
Yeah.
My daughter calls me a hammock geek, so I'll help you.
Good, because, you know, as long as I've been doing this now, I'm still not, I still don't know my fabrics and the differences and the, yeah, no.
You know, but you don't need to. I just happen to be a hammock geek, and I geek out about everything. And throughout the night, you're going to go, you're in deep, buddy. So, yeah, that was a beautiful hammock that I saw in pictures and whatnot. I just got my – I happened upon a guy that got a Juniper himself, and he didn't like the fabric. So he ordered another one from her, and I bought his used one, which wasn't used at all. I mean, maybe a night. Probably not even a night. So basically brand new. And I've put 2 nights into it, and oh, it's for a gathered end, really comfortable.
Now, see, that's one thing I can say is mine feels huge. I can turn, I can roll, I can go from end to end if I want to without having to get into too much trouble. It's one of the most comfortable hammocks I've ever been in.
Yeah, you're going to be able to be like Suge and go out in the woods just to get a long nap.
Don't think the thought hasn't crossed my mind.
Yeah, I keep joking with her because I'm like, not have one already set up in the house, but she's in an apartment that she can't hook up hooks to hang it. But I sleep in a hammock full time, not a gathered end. But so what's interesting is I'll go to like to a hang or something, and sometimes I'll sleep in my car because the novelty of sleeping in a hammock is not a big deal.
Right. So
I'll get talking to people and I'm like, eh, I'm just going to crash in my car. And they're like, well, don't you want to sleep in a hammock? I'm like, I sleep in a hammock all the time. This is not even new. So
I wish I could pull it off. I don't think that I could pull it off in my apartment.
No.
I think the landlord would probably kill us.
There's ways. I remember years ago, I had an apartment back in my younger and brasher days. I ended up with some holes in the sheetrock. And there's a poor man's way to fix sheetrock. And what you do is you paint the walls. And then you take a standard 8.5 by 11 piece sheet of paper. And it will stick to the wall. Then you paint over the paper. And it will cover that hole. Of course, it's only a piece of paper. But the landlord said, oh, it looks beautiful. You repainted everything. And I ran.
Right. So
there's always a way around it.
I love it.
So when did you start camping? I mean, did you camp as a kid? Did you pick it up later?
The first memories I have of camping was probably things like Girl Scout camp. Oh, boy, I just told on myself because nobody knows I was Girl Scout.
Let me edit that out.
And that was, of course, cabins and such. And when I was a teenager, my stepfather got a tent. And I think the year that he got that tent, it was one of those, you know, you turn in Marlboro miles for.
Mm-hmm.
I think that tent stayed set up in the backyard almost all summer. And depending on the night of the week was what friend was staying the night with me in the tent. And then in my teenage years, I continued camping, or later teens, joined Civil Air Patrol. So we did a little more hardcore camping. And I loved it. So, you know, pretty much all my life.
Yeah. So when did you get into hammocks?
I want to say four years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really completely sure, but it seems like about 4 years. I realized that getting up off the ground with arthritis was not doing me so good.
Mm-hmm.
And started looking at an easier way to do things.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, I can still, in a pinch, I can sleep on the ground on a pad, but you know, being on my knees or getting out of the, you know, bending over, hammock's been a lifesaver. I just thought being in pain was part of camping. That was just the price you paid. Now I can sleep in a hammock in the woods and wake up as refreshed as if I was in a house. So,
oh yeah,
I don't think some people understand just how comfortable it is. And it's opened up doors for me that my dad, who's not an outdoorsy camper, I have a war bonnet, Ridge Runner, I set up for him. And he'll sleep 10, 11 hours in it. And he says that is just as comfortable as anything.
Oh, wow.
So it's really opened up a lot of possibilities. When I go to his, you know, my parents, my folks' house for like Christmas and stuff, I used to set up my hammock outside literally all year round.
Right.
You know, I live in New Hampshire. I'm not sure where you live.
I'm in Kentucky.
Kentucky. I heard a little twang. I knew it was in the South. So up here, it can get pretty cold. So my mom would feel bad, but I'm like, I'm going to sleep in a hammock, and I'll sleep outside. So she finally relented into my parents' nice finished porch. She let me put a couple of hooks. So now I can sleep on the porch. And what's also great about it is not only is it comfortable, people feel so bad for me. I'm out on the porch. It's cold. Don't you want to come in? And I'm thinking, you have no idea. I'm way more comfortable than probably anybody here.
Oh, yeah.
I sleep like a baby through the night, not every 3 hours waking up screaming. But it's just amazing the how comfortable they can be.
Oh yeah, I got my mom started in one. I've got my stepdad started in one. You know, they wanted to go camping with us, and I love them both so much, and I tease my mom that when she goes camping, she brings everything, including the kitchen sink. And they were doing a huge 8 to 10 person tent with a double thick queen size mattress, air mattress. And I told my mom, I was like, you guys really should try hammocks. And took my stepdad on a camping trip, and oh, he loved it just as much as I did. I've got him hooked. And my mom, she's still kind of, you know, iffy about it. Her first night in a hammock, I will never, ever forget. We were down in South Carolina. We were at Huntington Beach State Park at Spring Swing with Palmetto.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the ocean on one side of us and fresh water on the other. We can hear the waves. And mom says, I'm just going to lay here and look up at the stars and listen to the ocean. And 2 minutes later, she was snoring. She woke up the next morning and said, that's way more comfortable than I ever expected. So now she's got her own setup.
Yeah, that's something Barry Cajun says he does when he'll show hammocks, and there'll be someone at one of the hangs or whatever, and they're like, I'm not so sure. And he's like, just lay in there and see what you think. And so he says some people get in it, and within 5 minutes, they're snoring.
And
he kind of zips them up, and he wanders off, and then later he comes and checks on them, and they'll have been slept for 90 minutes, and they're like, I can't believe it. And he goes, that's the trick. He goes, I don't put any pressure on them. People just get in it and fall asleep, and it's just so comfortable. As long as it's hung right. I mean, there is some fiddle factor. My dad still doesn't know how to hang the hammock, because we went hammock camping this last weekend. We went to the beach, and I had to hook up my son's hammock and his tarp, and my dad's hammock and his tarp, and my hammock and my tarp. And I'm like, this is a lot of work.
But it's exhausting.
Well, the setup just mine is easy, because, I mean, you get pretty good at it. But I had my dad in a war bonnet, and I had my son in a Jack's or Better Bear Mountain Bridge, and I was in my Autumn Ultralight Juniper.
Yeah.
So what was funny is my dad's, the one I had, the hammock I had my dad in, is that the war bonnet brown, and then it had the tarp that was brown, and my son's hammock was black, and his tarp is green, and my hammock was bright blue with paisley. My tarp was bright yellow. My blanket was bright red. I'm like, you won't miss me.
Oh, so you got the blue one with the paisley.
I did.
Oh, that one's gorgeous.
Oh, it's just amazing.
I was
thinking that somebody would think it was girly, and I'm like, I think it's beautiful.
No, it is gorgeous. I actually had talked about doing a totally paisley hammock.
Yeah.
And the reason I didn't was because of my tarp. But that's another story. And once my tarp was picked out, I was kind of like, that's too beautiful not to go with a hammock of the same. That's how I ended up matching.
In fact, I joked with Anne Marie that she doesn't like making the top covers for her hammocks.
Right.
She just whines about it. But I'm like, you got to make one more. I'm going to send the hammock back to you so you can, I'll pay you to make me a top cover for it. Because, again, here in New Hampshire, it gets really cold. And have that wind cut down in the winter would be amazing. And she kind of grumbled and said, we'll see.
Yeah, I can say I'm really lucky, because mine was one of the very last few top covers she had decided she was going to make.
Well, she might make one more. I tend to be a bit persuasive, so she might make one just to shut me up.
If you butter her up real good, she might.
Yeah, I'll find some good dinner. I'll feed her some lobster or something.
There you go.
I don't think they have a lot of lobster there in Ohio, so. They actually, in New England, you can box it up and ship it out. So once in a while, I'll send box lobster to somebody in the middle of nowhere, and it's just it's all surprising to them.
Wow.
Yeah. So a little taste of the East. Here it's not even a big, not necessarily. I guess it's still a treat, but it's not a big deal. And you go to different places, and you go to Wisconsin or something, and this is weird.
Specialty.
Not here. I mean, well, it is, but it's.
Well, you guys have lobster up there. I mean, you've got.
I know it's. I mean, I could go literally 5 minutes and have lobster. It's not even a.
Yeah, I actually lived in Maryland for a while, so that's where you kind of start seeing more of it.
Yeah, well, in Maryland, isn't that where they have the soft shell blue crab or whatever?
Yes, they have the blue crab.
And I remember because when I go places, within reason, I'll try anything. And I remember going into a restaurant there. It might have been Baltimore. And I asked for the soft-shell crab. And she says, "Are you sure?" And I said, that's like the local specialty. She's like, "Yep." And I said, "Well, that's what I want." And she goes, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she vividly described that it's got the tentacles, the legs, and they're sticking out the sides, and lots of people will order them, and then they'll eat it and go, "I can't eat this. Are you sure that's what you want?" I'm like, "Yes." And I thought it was fantastic. I mean, of course, it was a little weird with all the legs and everything, but I thought it was fantastic.
I am not a seafood person, but I know for people that love seafood, they've always loved the... Well, when I lived up there, that was the thing. People talked about the crab.
Well, we have, I think in New England, a lot of times, the reason we like seafood is because we like melted butter. And it's just the reason to eat melted butter. That's why we like corn on the cob, and we like baked potato, and we like lobster. I said, there's a theme here.
They all have melted butter.
They all have melted butter.
Now, see, I thought that was the South's thing because we eat lots of butter with everything. You got to butter your rolls and your taters and your corn.
Yeah, well, I used to work in a restaurant. People would try to cook the things that they saw in the restaurant. And they'd ask me, "Why does the food always seem to taste better in a restaurant?" And I says, "Butter." And they're like, "Well, how much should I use?" I'm like, "More than you think is appropriate."
You use all the butter.
I say we put butter on the steaks. In the mashed potatoes, we put more than you would think. Everything has more butter than you think is appropriate. And you wouldn't, when you see how much butter goes into your food at home, your brain tricks with you and go, my arteries are going to clamp shut. But in the restaurant, you're like, you don't see it happen. Therefore, it's good. But I'll make steaks here at home, and then when I bring them in to rest, I put a plop of butter on all of them, and then that ends up in the, you know, when it bleeds out a little bit while it's resting, that makes up a kind of a thin gravy. I'm like, that's how you do it. It's not rocket science, and people want all kinds of spices, and I'm like, no, you need salt, pepper, fire, and butter. That's all you need. I'll make the best steaks with those four ingredients.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not putting down people who do barbecue and stuff. That's a talent. Those are fantastic. I'm just saying for a home cook, low heat, then sear it at the end, and you don't need much except butter.
That's it. One of the steakhouses here in town they have their own steak butter. And I don't know what's in it, but they don't have a lot. I think they've got like a little bit of garlic or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all they use for their steak. And it is fantastic. Man, I used to work there and I loved eating it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it sounds like you've been to a few hangs.
I would say one or two.
Yeah.
Sometimes one or two a month.
Yeah. Do you like them?
I love it.
It's a nice eclectic group of people that at a hang.
It is. But the most amazing part is I have found my family. And you know, we all come from different walks of life and we've got different ages and people that we probably wouldn't meet on a regular basis, and we come together and there's some that we've got really close and we've got our own little group, and you know, we get together privately, and then when we go to the big hangs, we all kind of hang together and do our own little community over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, I say that I found my tribe. I haven't seen my tribe as much as I used to during this whole COVID thing, but we're going to start doing hangs again. I have a hang next weekend, and then another one in a couple of weeks, and then another one in another couple of weeks. So,
well, you know, you should make the one in a few weeks, Trailheads in Ohio.
That's a drive.
That is a drive.
I gotta make it someday, but I don't think it's this one. It sounds like it's a fun one.
Oh, it is. You plan ahead and you show up a few days early and you set up and, you know, spend 4 or 5 days down there, or for me up there with John and his family and, you know, the rest of us that get together, and it's just family. It's amazing. That is a very wonderful hang. The people are amazing. There's never any trouble. The fire pit is probably the best fire you will ever see. I don't know if you've heard about his fire pit.
I've heard a little bit about the fire pit because I'm trying to remember, because I interviewed John and Karen a year ago.
Uh-huh.
I do remember, because the big joke back then was he had made some special draws for Mike.
Uh-huh. Monolight, if I remember.
Monolight draws. Yep. You have to say draws. I was gonna, you know, I'm from the north. You say drawers. No, draws.
No, I think they were actually thongs.
Yeah, they were rounding up, as they say.
Oh yes.
Yeah, because I think it was about the time the Monolight was just coming out, or hadn't been out very long.
It hadn't been out very long. And I don't even remember what started the Monolight joke. Oh, I can't for the life of me remember. But man, that was some good laughs.
Yeah, I got on the periphery. I got a little bit on the mix of it, and then I remember talking to Pickle and Mike, you know, later, and putting it all together. I felt like I was almost there. I mean, I remember being able to almost picture the picture of the scene, and I'm like, not only was it hilarious, but I'm like, I can't unsee Mike in thong Monolight draws. I'm like, no, I can't unsee that.
No, I wouldn't. I didn't get to see it, and I'm a little thankful, because as much as I love Mike,
yeah,
I just don't want to see Monolight. Nope.
I don't need to see him naked. Nope. I'm good.
Me too. You know, so, I'm not a fan of the dangly bits. So
No. I like seeing the dangly bits in other areas. So
exactly.
Yeah. I've basically, John and Karen have given me like an open welcome to come practically anytime. I get so busy with work and stuff. At some point here, I'm going to become independently wealthy, and I'm just going to be like Barry. I'm just going to go hang. Someone had said, if you had enough money, what would you do with yourself? I'm like, I would just drive around the country. I would hang with people. I'd go to hangs, and they're like, well, what else would you do? I'm like, pretty much that's it. I would just mark my calendar, and there's got to be hangs all over the place.
Oh, yes.
I just got the invite from for the next HangCon. They're hoping I could make it down this next time. Winter's my busy time, actually, so it's tough to get that time to go down. I don't know if you've ever been to HangCon.
I did. I went last year. Matter of fact, that's what started the color theme of my rig now.
Oh, okay. So is there a story?
Well, every time I enter a raffle, it's joked about I win something or more than one thing. There was even one raffle they held up a ground cloth and I was like, hey, that's my color. That's mine. He pulls a ticket out and it's my number. But at HangCon, Dutch had put this really nice tarp in. I was trying to think of the material. It's a really nice lightweight tarp. Mm-hmm. And it was a red and black print. Well, one of the other girls that was there had just bought that red and black print underquilt from Cedar Ridge. And she really wanted that tarp. And Dutch came to me and he's like, okay, Shannon, I'm going to make you a deal. He says, I will print you any tarp you want if you'll give her that one. Okay, dude, no problem. So, you know, it took me a couple of day and a half to decide what I was going to do. And ended up walking away with a gorgeous tarp. And that turned into getting a gorgeous hammock. So now my rig is just beautiful.
You fell in the rabbit holes. Well, now that I've got this, I need this. And now that I've got this, I need this.
Yes. I decided when I won that tarp that I was going to go ahead, use some of my stimulus money to go ahead and put together the setup I wanted. And the finishing touches to that are actually on the table now being put together as my new quilt set from Trailheads from John and Karen. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little excited because after that I'll have my complete setup and I'll be good to go.
So what's your tarp for the listeners that haven't seen it? It looks like
it is liquefied purple Noor. There's two different liquefied purples. One of them has oranges in it. Mine is more purples with a sky blue, a little bit of pink, and some black.
So the way it looks like to me is if you had a piece of plywood or whatever and you dumped various colored paint and you swirled it together.
Yes.
That's pretty close, that
is,
I think.
It looks like somebody did, for anybody that watches YouTube or Etsy or the crafty stuff, a paint pour. Yes. Where they just pour different colors
in. And then they kind of lean it around and let it kind of, because it's not mixed together. It's distinct. It looks like it's got pink and purple and it's blue. I can't think of what color.
It's like a sky blue.
But I can see why. I could see why you getting a paisley hammock would clash. That'd be like wearing plaid with striped pants.
It definitely would have clashed, but I'm very happy with what I went with. When I get in my hammock, of course, my hammock's the same purple, but my top cover is a bright pink.
I'm looking at your rig right now. So that must be Anne-Marie's top cover is the pink.
Yes.
And then what quilt is underneath there?
In the picture you are looking at. Mm-hmm. The underquilt is actually a homemade underquilt that somebody local had bought from someone down south. Mm-hmm. And he decided that hammock camping really wasn't for him. So he decided he was going to sell this quilt. And I found it online for $80.
It looks pretty puffy.
It is. I bet. He says he thinks it's like a 30 degree or 40 degree.
I think it's a 20. It looks like a 20 degree to me.
Yeah, because it is toasty.
Yeah, that's that. I mean, this isn't a perfect picture, but it looks like it's got plenty of loft, and I have 20 degree underquilts, and they look like that.
Yeah, it's great. And then my top quilt, is Outdoorsman Outfitters in that picture.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really see it.
Yeah.
It's a 30.
Yeah. Is that and it's the blue one?
Oh, wait. There's a blue one hanging over. No, the blue one that's hanging over is my Puffle.
Oh. No, in the picture, I'm looking at, it's you have a chair, and in the chair is kind of wobbed up a blue and gray, I guess it's a top quilt from what I can see.
Oh, no, it's a backpack.
That's not a backpack.
I think it is.
I think it's your profile pic. No, I'm not going to argue with you.
Oh, I'm going to pull it up and look because...
Yeah, no, it sounds like you get some gear yourself. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, that's my Puffle.
That's your Puffle, okay.
Yes. I kind of have this... the first time Barry ever let me use a Puffle, I went nuts over it. And I had to have a Puffle. And I've wanted a Puffle. And as a matter of fact, it's on my bed right now because I sleep with my Puffle.
Mm-hmm.
And my Secret Santa got it for me last year for Christmas because Tar Heels Hangers does a Secret Santa every year. So I love my Secret Santa because he was the best, or that Santa was the best Santa.
So who makes the Puffle? Is that Sierra Madre?
Yes, the Puffle Sierra Madre.
Yeah.
And that one's just a 40 degree.
I don't have any Sierra Madre stuff.
Ah, you're missing out. They've got some good stuff. And people argue about it because they're not made here in the U.S., but Sierra Madre really does have some good gear.
Yeah, I'll end up having something because when I get together with Barry, I want to try a Ninox. Not that I want to own one. I'm a hammock nerd. I just want to try things.
Listen, you can do cartwheels in a Ninox.
Yeah, I hear it's a little bit heavy, but I hear that it's very comfortable. Just, it's big.
It is. It is so comfortable. I can almost, I'm 5'5", I can almost lay completely sideways in it.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
It's huge, but man, it is. You get in there and you've got your whole bedroom. I mean.
The hammock, there was a guy selling a hammock on, because I'm always looking for a deal, just to try things. And one of the hammocks I've always wanted to try is a Hennessy with that you go in through the hammock itself. I always call it the birth canal, but I don't know if that's politically correct, but
Who cares?
So there was a guy who had purchased one years ago. He used it literally once and then had been sitting in his closet. And I'm like, well, how much do you want? So again, I wanted to try. It's just such a novel thing to me to have of the design. And I have one of those now in a heavier fabric. And then just when it rains, it pours. Someone else has one in the lighter fabric and go, you want it? I'm like, yeah. So I'm going to have two. I'm going to go from no Hennessy's to two Hennessy birth canals, one in the heavy fabric, one in the light fabric. What a unique design those are.
They really are. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't there actually an underquilt that they made to go with them?
They, Hennessy never made one, but Jax or Better did.
Okay.
And Jax or Better cut the slit and put Velcro that would match up to the, from what I understand, to the Velcro that's in the hammock. So it would, you could get in and out of it just like normal. So it's interesting to me. I wanted to try one for so long and now I'm going to own two. And one of them isn't even a normal one. I got one. Hennessy made a special run of them for that company called Snap-on that makes the mechanics tools. And so the other one that's coming to me, I should have it on the 9th, is the lighter fabric classic with the birthing canal. But the tarp is orange with Snap-on printed on it.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to have not only a Hennessy, but a very unique one.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but I'm always trying something. I mean, I've tried bridge hammocks and gathered ends, and I've made my own gathered ends. I've made my own bridge hammocks. I can't think of too many other hammocks right now that I would like to really try. I'm trying to get into people's wills, you know, people who collect hammocks.
Right.
And I'm like, can I get into, you know, I'll put it out to the listeners. Can I get into people's wills? Because when they pass, their family doesn't know what to do with that large crate of random hammocks. Send them to me. I'll pay shipping.
Have you tried Superior Gear Hammock?
I haven't. I mean, I've watched Shug's videos, but that's as close as I've come to them.
Okay, so Danny has made a couple, and let's see, last year he sent one to the Red River Gorge Hang to be raffled off, and then seems like the other one, I guess the other one I was in is the one that Barry packs around to rep. Mm-hmm. Those are amazing hammocks. And I cannot wait to see this new design he's got with the quilt that snaps onto the top.
Yep.
I cannot wait. But that is an amazing hammock. The design is just great.
And going back there is I also, now you've got me thinking, is ultimately, I think of various hammocks. I'd love to get like a Bonefire Gear. They used to make similar hammocks with the insulation sewn to the hammock. There was one other company that did it too. So Danny's not the first one to do it.
And Alan Crash out of Lexington, Kentucky, Sholtoey Hammocks. He did one.
Yeah.
And
I'd love to get, because you can't get them anymore. I'd love to have something made by Marty.
Right.
I always was going to get something of his, and I'm like, yeah, there's time. I'll get it at some point. And
then he was gone.
Yeah, then he was gone.
Yeah, I was really just getting into hammocks. I mean, I have been into just a little bit, but I didn't really know who he was when he passed at the time. And then once it became clear, I was like, oh, wow, I just thought he was everybody's buddy because of the posts I read. Then I realized, oh, hey, this is somebody that's really loved in these circles.
Yeah. That was kind of a shocker. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that goes back to what I said earlier. These people that you meet at hangs, they become your family.
Mm-hmm.
Anne Marie and John and Karen and Barry and so many others. That's family to me. I mean, and when you lose one of your own, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So the hammock community was devastated when they lost one.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't know him, but that was still quite a shock throughout the community. But at some point, I'd like to have a piece of his gear. You know, obviously you can't get it anymore, but I watch and see if anybody posts anything for sale or whatever. And
oh, yeah.
Someday I'll snag a piece.
One of these days, somebody's not going to know what they've got and they're going to let it go.
Yeah, well, that's why I was joking. I have a buddy that he's got some Clarks and different things. And I said, you want to sell them? He's like, no. I'm like, can I just go in your will?
Just put me in your will.
You know, I said, your wife's not going to know what all you have. You know, she'll just chuck it or give it away to kids or whatever. Just give
throw
it to
me. In Goodwill. I think the one that I don't have that I really want, I've got my quilts coming from John from Trailheads. I really do want a Superior hammock. And that's probably going to be a save up to get kind of item because I've got everything I need. But one of these days, that's going to be my next goal. Oh, and I need a winter tarp with doors. Yeah.
Did you ever watch the movie? I think it was a Steve Martin, The Jerk. You know,
it's been a while, but I remember it. Yeah.
That's all I need is a superior hammock. That's it. And this tarp. This tarp and this hammock. That's all I need.
Yeah, and then that...
You know, your arms are full of stuff.
You know, that suspension, you can't pass up that suspension now.
No. No. You gotta...
like the suspension that Danny uses for the Superior. That's a pretty good suspension. It's pretty easy to use.
Yeah. So what are your aspirations? Do you want to go on a multi-day hike now with all your gear? Are you going to go on a road trip?
The next trip is Trailheads. And I'm really looking forward to that.
When's that?
That is...
I joke with my family that if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist. So
September 16th through the 19th. So, just 2 weeks away.
September. Hold on. I'm going to bring up my calendar to see when that is.
You know, you can get cheap flights right now from the New England area down to like Columbus or Cincinnati.
So you said the 16th through the 19th?
Yeah.
Mm. What's interesting is there's, so not this weekend, but the following weekend, September 10th through the 12th is the Lighthouse and Lobster Hang. And then after the next weekend is the Fall Maha. And obviously you just said the Trailheads. Then the weekend after that is the Great Pumpkin Hang. So it's like, bam, bam, bam.
Now, where is the Great Pumpkin Hang?
It's in New Hampshire. It's there's some people nearby that own a chunk of land on the backside of a mountain. And they just let us riffraff come over. It used to be in October, but for some reason it's been bumped into to September at this point, and I don't know exactly why. Probably the owner is a police officer, so probably goes around her schedule. But it used to be in October. That's why it got called the Great Pumpkin Hang.
Gotcha.
And it's just on a chunk of land, and there's an old logging road, so we set up the tables and everything on the logging road, and then we disperse. We didn't do it last year because of COVID, I suppose. But the year before, some people learned what a game trail is.
Oh, no.
They hung their hammocks and the moose came through in the... luckily, it startled the moose and it ran off. But I'm like, what fool sets their hammock up in a game trail? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm on a trail. Yes, a game trail. It's not human.
It has trail in the name, doesn't mean it's for hiking.
Well, it looks like a hiking trail. And so they're like, how would you know the difference? And I tried to point it out. And I'm like, yeah, I guess it is kind of hard to tell them. But I said, no, that's a game trail. Then there was one guy did fine, but he hung his hammock right over the water. So the water was going right underneath him. Like I said, it's like a Frank Lloyd Wright setup. And I set up on a little island. I did pretty well, but sometimes the libations are free flowing. So it was interesting to do the stream crossing and fall in my hammock. I had to go down. What was funny, and I probably should probably bleep it out, but there's always a few of us that stay up really late, and we have a mixologist that always comes with some drink.
Oh, yes.
And that 2 years ago, he brought some sort of like Brazilian rum, sugar, and was there something else? It's crushed ice, basically with sugar and rum. Oh, limes. So you'd mash your limes, and it got so bad that I didn't dare sit down, so I had to stand.
Right.
And then
when I would, you know, I'm a guy, went off in the bushes to take a leak, I had to, it was, I was getting dizzy. I had.
You got to find the tree to lean on.
So later it was just the homeowner that was her and me. And she has a little cabin that was around the corner and probably a quarter mile uphill.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like 2 a.m. and both of us are just staggering around. And she said, we finally broke up, and she was going to go up to her cabin. I was going to go to my hammock, and I said, would you like me to walk up to your cabin with you? So, you know, I'm sure you're safe. And she's like, I know what I'm doing. Like, I'd be happy to do it. And she goes, I don't think you could make it up the hill. And I'm like,
probably. Oh, that's a challenge.
I said, I think I could make it up the hill. I'm not so sure I could make it back down. But I said, you'd be in your cabin, and it wouldn't concern you. If I fell asleep in the woods, I'd wake up in the morning. It wouldn't be the first time.
Right.
And she goes, you know what? You're just a really nice guy that says fuck a lot. So that's been the description in my little group. That's who I am.
You're the nice guy that says fuck a lot.
Yes. So I'll have to put a little disclaimer at the beginning of the podcast that we dropped the F-bomb and storytelling in there, just so you know that's there. But anyways, that's what I told her. I said, I'm sure I could make it up to your cabin, but I'm not sure I would make it back down without passing out on the way. But I'm like, it wouldn't concern you. You'd be in your cabin.
Well, that's a good point. And at least you would have done the gentlemanly thing and made sure she got there safe.
Yeah. So she says, it's my land. I've done it many, many times. I'm like, I'm sure you did, but have you been this soused when you did it?
Very true.
So,
well, see, I don't drink a lot, so I get to sit back and watch everybody else.
I'm a social drinker. I'm Irish, so I've got like a hollow leg just by default.
Uh-huh.
Rum and me agree with each other. I mean, I can't do it with tequila or whatever, but when it's the right social environment and I'm not drinking to drunk, it's just the right, it's with my tribe.
Yeah.
It's different.
It is.
You know, some days I can go, if I'm with the wrong person, I'll drink one beer and I got a headache and I got to go. I'm done. Other ones, I could drink like a half gallon and I'm, how are you still standing? You know, you get to the point where there was one where one time I had a glass and I was so inebriated that the only way that I would know that the glass was on the table was when my hand hit the table. So I'd slam my glass down and go, another. I'm like, this is what they must, you know, you watch those old cowboy movies and they slam their glass down and give me another. I'm like,
uh-huh.
Oh, that's why they slam it down. Otherwise, how would they know?
And you have to think the whiskey and stuff was so bad back then, it would be so strong.
Yeah.
They might not have been able to even feel their hand.
Trying to remember. Oh, I forgot the story. And there's going to be a listener. They're going to yell at the radio or whatever when they hear it. That's where they got proof from is. That they would. They would pour whiskey over gunpowder and light. I don't know. But anyways, I'm like, I should remember these things, these little bits of trivia. But that's in the saloon. That's where they had proof, because the saloon owners would water it down so much that if it went, you know, they put it on, I think, gunpowder and it went light, then they'd watered it down so much and then we get a problem.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine what it was like back then.
No, there's people that are nostalgic, and I think it could have been Anne Marie. It could have been somebody recently. It goes, if you could live in any time or era, where would you live? I'm like, this one. Well, and then it was like nostalgic about, you know, wouldn't it have been cool in the 20s? I'm like, no, not at all. I said, we just got over the Spanish flu. There was the roaring 20s, but I'm not rich, so I'm not going to benefit from. I'd be working without all, in the factory or something, without any understanding that I'm going to get black lung or whatever. No, I don't want to go back there.
Well, and for you in the 20s, you being Irish, that would have been sweatshops for you. I mean,
yeah.
Well, my family was Irish farmers.
Yeah.
So they definitely wouldn't have been considered rich.
Right. Yeah, the I'm from the Northeast. The Irish wasn't, there was a long period there where the Irish were just dirt on people's heels. We weren't
we weren't
a loved race by any means.
Well, so many of the Irish came over as indentured servants and had to spend 7 to 10 years in servitude before they could go out poor and try to make their own way.
Yeah, I traced back, or my family, I didn't do it. I'm lazy. My aunt, so my family are the Duffys. So we came over and we landed in Nova Scotia, Canada. So I didn't come in through the front door of America. And my estimation, knowing what my family is we probably were those indentured servants, or we were the skilled labor. So when you have a ship, you have to have skilled labor on your ship, because if something goes wrong in the voyage, you got to fix it. So you got to have someone like my family. Then once you got established here, you still need skilled tradespeople to build whatever. Oh, but yeah. Over time, more and more skilled labor came. So I just know how we are. How much we got paid went down because there was too many skilled labor. So we would venture. And then eventually we just came down the coast through Maine and then into New Hampshire. That's how my family got here.
Wow. Now, so, I know there's a book about my family somewhere that explains it. But the best I have figured, my family left Ireland and went to England before coming here, and when we came over, we landed in Virginia, and they made their way basically through the Virginias until they got here. And I know that we have been here in this area of Kentucky for about 150, almost 200 years. So, and that long ago, this land was wild. This is the land that they were trying to get the Irish and the Swiss and, more hardier people, to come over and settle, because they wanted to settle this land, but it was so wild they knew they needed stout, hardy people, that were good, strong workers to come do it. And so many people died of like cholera and stuff when they were trying to settle here, because the land was just so wild. Mm-hmm. And since my family's made it through, and 200 years later, here I am.
Yeah, look at me. There's a story in my history that back when they were loggers, a lot of my family couldn't pass up a dare. There was one of my generations ago family, they dared him that he couldn't lift a wagon full of men. Obviously one side or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Of course he took the bet.
Oh yeah.
And of course he did it. And then he ruptured some internal something and bled to death internally.
Oh,
but he lifted the wagon.
That's all that mattered. He won that bet.
Yeah, I'm far more pragmatic than that. I would, I'm sure I could fight, but my first instinct is to run. I was always faster than other. I'm like, I'm just going to run. So you're going to run away from your problems? Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my problems. I run away from my problems.
It reminds me of you should walk a mile in someone else's shoes. And then if they're they're still mad at you. At least you're a mile away and you got their shoes.
Exactly.
And that's the show for this month. As always, you can find the podcast at hyohpodcast.com. And for more information on the podcast, you can go to the Facebook page. If you like what you hear, please consider giving us a positive review on iTunes or wherever you get the podcasts. This podcast is a labor of love, and your support is very much appreciated. If you'd like to help support the podcast with a donation, please go to hyohpodcast.com/donate for a one-time donation. I would like to thank those who support the podcast month to month, and if you enjoy the podcast, please consider supporting the podcast via the Patreon page. Please tell your friends about the podcast and be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. And as always, I would love to hear from you with questions, comments, and show ideas. You can email me anytime at chris@hyohpodcast.com. And finally, a special thank you to Ben Sound for our podcast music and ITX for the hosting the podcast. As always, thank you for listening. See you next month.